Church, good morning. Excited to be here this morning. It feels different, but the presence of God is here. There's an amazing presence of God inside the place, and I know that it's actually inside your lounge room as well, in front of the television or your phone or whatever that you're using to watch the service this morning. So welcome. Father, we thank you for your word, and we release, Lord, your spirit. Father, breathe upon your word. Your word is everlasting to everlasting. Your word is life. Your word is a lamp unto our feet that guides us, O God. Father, you have already given us instructions and blueprints, O God, in your word, that we are not people that are groping blindly in the dark, but we understand, Lord, the direction and the principles in your word. We understand, Father, the season that we're living in, and we thank you. Father, I pray that, Lord, you touch your people, everybody that's watching this morning, every man, woman, and children, God. Father, breathe upon your word. Let it go forth. Let it achieve everything that you have purposed for it. That it shall not come back void, O God, but accomplish everything. Every heart will be transformed. Every heart, Lord, will be encouraged. Every heart will be on fire for you this morning. Let the heart of men be transformed and touched this morning, Father, by your Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I know you got your Bibles with you. I just wanted to say that our 2020 is still happening. I'm excited about the month of March because I remember saying that the month of March was actually a month of preparation. And we have prepared for something. And we are now living inside a time or a season where things are happening as we see it. I think we are the most privileged generation to be living at this end times, because some things that others that have gone before us have never seen, and I believe that we'll be seeing a lot more of the manifestation of the power of God happening as we continue to move forward in Him. Hallelujah! In this season, you know, the voice of God doesn't stop ringing inside our spirit. There's a scripture that keeps coming to me every day. And it's like the voice of God rings out to all the inhabitants in different accents of assurance and supremacy and power, saying that I am here regardless of what we are going through right now. In Psalms chapter 46 verse 10 is the scripture that has been just ringing inside my ears and inside my mind, inside my heart throughout the week. And it says, "Be still and know that I am God." Hallelujah. He says, I will be exalted among the nations. Ooh, hallelujah. I will be exalted in the earth. Hallelujah. That's a powerful scripture. Let that scripture or let that word be like an assurance to you. Let it be like a nice cold water that comes over your head as you're in a shower room. That's really what the word of God is. It brings peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. Nothing can bring you peace except the word of God. Hallelujah. Every fear is stilled. Every anxiety is quieted. His people can what? Relax. Why? Because he is in the fight. Hallelujah. He is amongst us throughout the situation that we're going through right now. No matter what may happen to or how dark the hour may be, you are in Christ Jesus. You who is in Christ Jesus or who are in Christ Jesus can have confidence. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is with us all throughout the crisis, all throughout the situation, in good times and in bad times. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that we worship, hallelujah, is still with us. And that word must be like your assurance every time in your spirit. And it's been ringing inside my heart, hallelujah, throughout the times that we've been living in. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, a fortress that we can take refuge from the storms of uncertainty. This is the time of uncertainty, and we must always remember that. The name of the Lord is always a strong tower in our lives. I just want to encourage you this morning before I actually bring the word to you. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The people that are bringing the news to you, let me just encourage you this morning. The people that are bringing the news to you on television, they themselves are in fear. And I keep saying that and saying that and saying that to you throughout the time that we're living in, that Go to the source to bring the news to you. The future is not ours, but today is ours. That's why when you listen to television and the news and all that stuff, there's people that are bringing it to you, regardless of what we're following through, they still instill fear in the lives of people. So I pray that you will understand that this is where you take your news from. This is the source of where the information comes from about your life and about the kingdom that we live in. Hallelujah. The people that are bringing the news to you will always bring fear because they themselves are living in fear. So listen, God has got your tomorrow. That's really what my message is this morning, is God's got your tomorrow. Your tomorrow belongs to God. Amen. Today, He's given it to us. This is the day that He has given us, that we must rejoice in it. I keep saying that every time. But today is ours. Tomorrow He's got it. He owns tomorrow. God owns your tomorrow. Hallelujah. Understand the season. I keep saying that. Understanding it, interpret it not with emotions and feelings, but interpret it with the Word of God. The prophetic Word comes through His Word and His Spirit in a time of prayer. That's really what we should be doing right now. This isolation is not isolating God. It's isolation from people and connecting to God. You are not isolated to God. Wherever you are this morning, you are connected to God. Go into the place of prayer. Go into a place that you and God can talk quietly to each other. Hallelujah. Let Him talk to you. We are not people groping, like I said, groping around in the dark. We are people of hope and faith. Why? We have this book. Hope and faith. We have this book. Listen to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first scripture says, John chapter 16, verse 13 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." Shalom, shalom. "In the world you will have tribulations. But be of what? Good cheer. I have overcome the world." Oh, I love that. It's a promise that He said. Listen, be joyful. Why? "I have overcome the world." Nothing can happen to you. Nothing. No tribulations, pestilence, whatever can come against you. John chapter 14, verse 27 says, "The peace," I love this, "the peace," or "peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid." These are some of the words that has been coming to me every time as I spend time with the Lord. Understand the season, and I keep saying that, interpret it. Interpret the season based on the Word of God. Get your news, get your assurance from the Word of God. This is the time where we really need to get into God and really need to spend quality time with Him. Isolation from other people is a great time to connect with God. Hallelujah. That is where the Bible says, keep your faith, because that is the only thing we're supposed to live on, is our faith. Not money. Money follows after faith. Faith comes first before that. That's why He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all His righteousness, and all that shall be added unto you." Our faith must be the ones that we keep all the time. If we lose our faith in a time like this, that will be at the end of us. But our faith is the one that carries us through. Jesus said, "Only believe." There's nothing to it. You cannot do anything else except to believe in the Word of God and believe in Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's why our faith is important to us. We must keep and hold on to this faith. I just want to say this morning, that the shaking is already happening. It's happening now. This shaking is happening right now. In Haggai chapter 2, verse 68, I love this. This is really what is happening right now. It says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is in a little while, I will shake the heaven and the earth, the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts." Hallelujah. There's a scripture that connects to this, and what the season that we're living in right now, there's a connection to what is happening right now in the world. And us, we as a church must always understand that We must study the Bible, study the scripture, understand the season, and then interpret it the way it's supposed to be interpreted. And in Isaiah chapter 19, verse 1 says, there's a prophecy against Egypt. See, the Lord rides on a swift cloud and is coming to Egypt. The idols of Egypt tremble before him, and the hearts of the Egyptians melt with fear. See, in the days of the Israelites when they're in slavery, Egypt was the economical power at that time. They're like the world economic power at that time. As God shook the idols of Egypt, God will also shake the system of this world. The shaking is happening now is a shaking that is from God. God is allowing that to happen so that you and I will understand the season that we're living in. He is bringing us shaking, and his judgment will begin where? In the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. The judgment begins in the house of the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, says, for the time has come for the judgment to begin at the house of the Lord. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who not obey the gospel of God? God shook all the idols of Egypt down. He shook everything. And he's shaking something in your life today. Every idol that you're keeping inside your life, every idol that you've been holding on to, that shaking is going to move all these idols and shake them off you so that you can come to the one true God. That is the God that brings hope and faith through the Spirit. Hallelujah. His shaking is God's way of saying, run to me. This shaking is to wake the church up. The shaking is to bring down all the idols in our lives. And whatever idol that you have been holding on to will be shaken off. That's really what it is right now. This shaking is God's way of saying, run to me and trust in me. Believe in me and my word. Believe in my Son, Jesus Christ. This shaking is God's way of telling you that build your house on the rock, Jesus Christ. And it says, and when the rain comes and the floods come and the winds blow and beat on the house, but it shall not what fall because it has been planted and founded in the rock, Jesus Christ. He is the cornerstone that holds everything together. Hallelujah. That's the shaking that will bring all this to us. This shaking is telling you not to lay your treasures on earth. When moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up your treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, where your heart is also. Hallelujah. This shaking is the preparation of the church. We cannot have revival, I keep talking about it. We cannot have revival until there is a shaking inside the church. The church is being shaken right now. So our prayers must now change. Yes, we pray for God's protection. God hears our prayers and is watching over us right now. But it doesn't stop us from going into a place of praying for revival to happen inside man's hearts. Instead of praying and continuously praying for protection, God's already heard you. He's already heard you. His word says that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against us in judgment, he shall condemn. We shall condemn. Hallelujah. So all these promises is heard. But our hearts as a church, our motive and our mandate as a church must be continuing to praying for revival and for the move of God to happen inside our hearts. Move happens inside our hearts. If the shaking is happening, then it is the time for us to move into a place to pray for revival or remove or the transformation still start happening inside the hearts of men. Hallelujah. Because it has to start where? In the man's heart. Revival doesn't happen outside from anywhere. It starts inside. And if we start something inside the house of God, see, if judgment begins in the house of the Lord, then the revival must begin in the house of the Lord. We can't expect it to come from anywhere. It's got to be ours. It's got to be something that happens inside the house of God. Hallelujah. We cannot claim that, but it belongs to God. See, one of the things that happens is that in this situation that we're living in now, we don't want to go to sleep. We don't want to be slumbering in safety away from everything else and not connect to God and start praying as we get together. Praying must not stop. Your prayer life must really lift. Church, I'm talking to you this morning. Our prayer life must lift. Every time that we get together, every opportunity, we must pray and break bread together. Pray and break bread together. This is the time that God has given us to what? To rest in Him, to understand that He is going through this crisis with us in the same boat. He hasn't left. There's storms happening, but we're inside the boat and He's right there with us. And so our job now as a church is to just continue to break bread and pray. I rally you to break bread and pray, because I know that when we come together, I can't wait for us to come together to worship again. Something's going to happen in this building. The roof's going to just go off. Hallelujah. And so God is giving us the time as a time to rest in Him. Amen? So rest in Him, but bring your prayer life up. I'm encouraging you this morning. This shaking is happening because God wants it to happen in our lives. You cannot grow when there's no storm. Everything happens makes you grow. I believe that some churches, or most churches, will be shaken. I pray that you start praying for idols to drop off your life. I pray that you pray prayers of God removing idols from you. What are idols? Anything that you put before God is an idol. God is pulling down all the idols. The biggest church on Sunday in Australia is sports. Hallelujah. That's gone. People don't know what to do with themselves anymore. People are sitting there, fiddling with their fingers going, I don't know what to do. Well, this is a time that the church must rise up. And what we're doing this morning is exactly that, because people are looking for entertainment. People are looking for something. But the Holy Spirit is going to move through His Word, and His presence will go through whatever live stream that you are. I'm encouraging you this morning, and it will touch the lives of people. The idols, the sports idols have come down. Everything, every idol of men has come down. And I pray that you, as a man of God and a woman of God, remove idols from your life today. This is a time that the shaking must happen to remove idols in your life. Whatever it is that you're holding on to, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Because when we come together, hallelujah, when the time for us to come together, the body of Christ or the church of Jesus Christ will rise up. There's no other way to get this right but to come before God in righteousness and holiness and walk before Him blameless again. I believe that we have lost the reverential fear of God. God must come back into church in your life. The Holy Spirit must come back. I'm talking about fear of God. It has to come back in our lives. The reverential fear of God must come to the people. Why? Because we have truly lost it in the church. And I pray that this church do not lose the fear of God. Because the fear of God brings in wisdom. Hallelujah. And the fear of God, the reverential fear of God, allows the Holy Spirit to really work inside people's lives. There is no fear of God in the church anymore. There are too many salvation without lordship in church. And that's why this shaking is coming. Let me just explain to you, or just share some things that are in my heart. The shaking will bring true repentance, something that is really missing in church. We need repentance inside the church. We have no repentance anymore. There is no salvation except true repentance in Jesus Christ. You know, the message of grace have been manipulated so much that it has become a feel-good message to a lot of people. I don't want a feel-good message. I want a message that will convict you, because the Holy Spirit will do that. I cannot change anybody's life except the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The message of grace has been really manipulated that it has become a feel-good message to the people. People have become immune to sin. And that's why this shaking is happening, to really see what is really built in the kingdom. Whatever that is of God will stand. Everything else that it doesn't belong to God or wasn't built on God will fall. See, we have all sorts of preconceived ideas about how we should do church. We think that the traditional church, I'm sharing this with you because that's what's in my heart, and this is what the shaking is all about. The reason why many church have turned into entertainment centers, let me tell you this, because they think that everybody is seeking God, and in order for people to bring people into church, they have to create something, some sort of entertainment or something to draw these people. Jesus said, if you lift me up, Jesus said, is the only one that will draw people to him. Not you, not pastors, not a good speaker, not an evangelist, but him, Jesus, he will draw people to God. Hallelujah. See, the concept of the traditional, they believe that the concept of a traditional church scares people away from church. But that's when you start to not believe in the Holy Spirit. Where do we play the part of being a church when we start to think that we can try and draw people in our own power using all the technologies that we can have to bring people in so they can be comfortable inside a church? The truth, listen to me. Let me just say this. The truth is that the generation of today, or even in my time, are not seeking for God. I wasn't seeking for God. I wasn't looking for God. He found me. He is the one that found me. He found you. Every one of you sitting here today that have been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit and washed by the blood, he found you. He found Paul. He found Peter. He's the one that went and found these guys. He's the one that found them. They didn't come looking for him. So the generation of today will not come to church. And that's why your prayer and allowing the Holy Spirit to start happening, to do his work inside the church is paramount to us as a church this morning. I'm talking about this because we're in the shaking. And the shaking will allow the true church that is operating in the power of the Holy Spirit to stand amongst all this that is happening around us. Let me just anchor what I'm saying on Scripture. The Bible teaches us the exact opposite. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 11, there is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. No one. That's including everybody that's out in the world today. Nobody seeks God. This means there is no such thing as an unbeliever who is truly seeking God for his own. I wasn't seeking God. None of you sitting here have been seeking God. We never went after God. I was happily enjoying my life, my hidden life and my sinful life until God found me. God stepped into my life and said, that's enough, Ben. Time to do some work in my kingdom. It's the same thing as every one of you sitting here. Alan, Janet, Pastor Papi, and you watching the live stream this morning. God chose you. You didn't choose him. And so there's no such thing as man trying to draw people into the church, putting up all this great entertainment to draw people into the church. There is no such thing as an unbeliever who is truly seeking after God. The Bible says man is dead in sin. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. And he can't seek God because he doesn't recognize his need for him. Man is dead in sin. He can't seek God. He doesn't know that. He doesn't recognize his own sin or his own death in his own life. He doesn't recognize that. So how can a man that is dead in sin seek God? How can a man understand that unless the gospel is truly what? Preached to him. And the Holy Spirit breathed on the word of God upon them. I listened to the gospel of Jesus Christ and got saved. Somebody preached a message to me. Not a feel-good message, a message with power. A message that was breathed upon by the Holy Spirit and transformed my life. For the very first time, I realized I was a sinner. So there is no such thing as people looking for God. Romans chapter 1 verse 20 to 23 teaches us that all believers reject the true God. And then they go to a form of God that is what they want, a God in their image or in the image of something else. And this is the God that they want, a God that they can tame and control. You cannot tame and control God. Hallelujah. And that's what the churches are doing. I'm speaking my heart this morning. I'm speaking my heart this morning. And I've been watching this in the kingdom of God for too long, and I have to say it. Hallelujah. And I'm saying it today that this must change. The Holy Spirit must come. That's why our prayer life must rise. our coming together and praying must lift. Your own personal prayer must lift, and the combined prayer of a church must lift. And we're starting to see that happen in the church. I'm excited about that. Hallelujah. Let's not stop there in this shaking. Let's keep going. Hallelujah. God's invisible attributes are very clear. Clearly seen in creation. The stars, the moon, all the trees that we see. Everything is a clear attribute of God. But unbelievers take the clear knowledge and the revelation of God and graciously, that God will actually graciously provide for us, and flatly reject it. So no, there's no such thing as, oh, everybody's looking for God. No, no one is looking for God. No one who is dead in sin is looking for God, unless you preach and share the true gospel of Jesus Christ with power and allowing the Holy Spirit to transform people. Not you. You are not the one that's going to change anybody. I cannot change you. People don't change because there was a good speaker in the house. People don't change because there was a good entertainment or the music was nice. People change when the Word of God hits them inside and the Holy Spirit does the transformation inside the hearts. That's how people change. That's how I came to Christ. That's why I stayed in Christ. That's why I become what I am today, because of that. Hallelujah. I didn't look for God. He found me. He found you. And so today, allow God to come into your life and find you. Let Him, if you're watching this morning, whether you are not looking for God or you're not, we are in a shaking. The Bible says that in Malachi, it says that I will send the prophet Isaiah before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Great day is for those who are in the purpose and the will of God. The dreadful day is for those who do not know God. So whether we receive the coming of the Lord or the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, whether you are, which part are you in? Are you in the great part or are you in the dreadful part? It's really up to you this morning to make the decision. Coronavirus is just one plague that's coming. It's just the tip of the iceberg of the plagues that are coming. There's more coming. Hallelujah. And that's going to shake the church and shake the people that are inside this world today. Hallelujah. That is what Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. He says that they are without excuse. We have no excuse. What man finds when he seeks on his own is nothing more than a god of his own creation. There's a lot of people seeking their own god. You know, I'm talking about this shaking because the idols are coming off people. And idols must come off. Even Christians have their own little gods that you carry around. A God that stops you from coming to church. A God that stops you from coming to prayer. A God that stops you from getting into prayer. A God that stops you from doing the things of the kingdom. A God that stops you from seeking His kingdom first and His righteousness. Hallelujah. That's a God. That's an idol inside. And God's shaking that idol this morning. God's shaking that idol in the season that we're living in. And only Him can do that. And all He's doing is shaking it so that you can let go of these things. Let go of all the idols that are inside of you, that you're holding on to, that you're actually really relying on. Let go of that and see what God can do in your life. Man does not seek God. It is God who seeks for man. Jesus said plainly in John chapter 15, verse 16, He says, You did not choose me, I chose you. There it is. Jesus said, you'd never chose me. You did not choose me, I chose you. Then He says in John chapter 6, verse 44, I like that. He says, no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So you cannot come to Christ just like that. Only the Father or the Holy Spirit draws you to Jesus, and Jesus takes you to the Father. Hallelujah. That's how it works. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Nobody can come to Jesus except the Holy Spirit brings him to Jesus. And nobody can go to the Father except Jesus, through Jesus who takes him to the Father. And He says that. He says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. There is no such thing as us trying to transform man and change man. We cannot. We don't have the capacity or the power to do that, to transform man. That's the Holy Spirit. He does the conviction. What do? Preach the gospel, love the people. Hallelujah. Preach the gospel, love the people. preach the gospel, love the people. The conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. That's why we have to allow the Holy Spirit back into the church. Not lighting and smoke machine and big screens and all that entertainment and all the theatricals inside the church doesn't change nobody. Only God can change a heart of man. And only God can keep a man inside the place of change. Nobody else can. Hallelujah. God changed my life and kept me in that place. Nobody else. Not a doctor, not a surgeon, not any psychologist, but God, the Holy Spirit. A spiritual dead person does not seek God, nor can he. Therefore, there is no such thing as seeking unbeliever. I'm talking to people who are trying to plant church. I'm talking to people who are trying to witness to people. You cannot force anything upon anybody. Pray. Pray. And then when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, you carry the Holy Spirit. Empower yourself. And then God, and all you need to do is just talk. Preach the gospel. Talk to people and let the Holy Spirit do that. There's no such thing as people seeking after God. There's dead people all over. The world is full of walking dead people. Dead people. People dying and going directly to hell. And so let the Holy Spirit come back into the church. Come back. Who is the church? You are the church. Until the Father draws him, he does not understand the things of God until he is made alive by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says that. Nobody understands God until his spirit has been totally transformed and he becomes alive in God. Then he starts to understand the things of God. That's why Bible Paul says, grow up. Grow up quickly so that I can give you the gifts. Grow up quickly so that all these gifts that you have, the Holy Spirit can, you can be able to operate in those in that gift. Because you cannot operate in it when you're still a baby Christian. Hallelujah. You become a dangerous person in the kingdom. Until the Father draws him, John chapter 6, verse 44 says, and the Spirit awakens the heart so that he can believe and receive the gift of faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. I'm just quickly going through that with you. This is what the shaking is happening. An unsaved person cannot believe. Salvation is completely the act of God, whereby he draws and empowers the dead sinner with what is necessary to believe. Salvation is from the Holy Spirit. John chapter 6 verse 37 and John verse 39 to 40. The Holy Spirit has been kept outside the church for too long. It is time for us to allow him to come back into the church. He's been kept outside the door while churches are doing programs. There's too many programs, man-made programs, trying to draw people to church. And the church is full of people that are, they call themselves what? Seeker sensitive or something. They just don't want to be offended. They believe that, oh, we can just get anybody in here as long as we just do the right thing and not try to scare them. Hallelujah. We cannot keep a man truly born again and saved in the kingdom by trying to tiptoe around sin. You got to deal with sin. Preach the gospel in love. Preach the gospel to the people. Share the testimonies that you have in your life and allow the Holy Spirit to move. We cannot change anybody. I cannot change anybody. None of us can. Hallelujah. Only the Holy Spirit can. So just do what you can do and leave the rest to the Holy Spirit. It's just like leave tomorrow for him. He owns your tomorrow, but you own your today. Live your today. And then when it comes to tomorrow is his. And when you get to tomorrow, you own it again. And he keeps owning your tomorrow, you own your today. Oh, I like that. You own your today, he owns your tomorrow, and that's how you walk. He's always got it under control. Hallelujah. People are saying, do the church in a non-threatening way. No, no, no. The traditional church of God, the one he planted and says, I will build my church and no gates of hell shall prevail. That church must rise up. We have to rise up. And the shaking must rise us up. Hallelujah. We share the gospel, but it is not our responsibility to make people believe. And I already said that. Nobody believes the gospel because the speaker is persuasive. I cannot persuade you to come to the kingdom. Only the Holy Spirit can. I just share the truth of the word of God to you. That's all. And the Holy Spirit does the rest. Hallelujah. For the time has come for the judgment to begin in the house of the Lord. Everything that is truly of the kingdom of God will stand. Everything else will crumble, including the people who have been manipulating by a feel-good message. That has to stop. That has to stop. We have to stop doing that and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to truly work in the hearts of the people. Haggai chapter 2, as I go back to that scripture, chapter 2 verse 7 says, "And I will fill this temple with the glory, says the Lord of hosts." Who? Hallelujah. The glory speaks of the souls that will be filled in His house. When He come together to worship and praise Him, His glory fills the temple. We are the containers that carry the glory of God. Hallelujah. He's doing the shaking, but He's looking forward to the house filled up with His glory. We are the ones that carry His glory. We shine the glory of God out to the world. Hallelujah. When God says, "The earth is filled with my glory," He's talking about you, my friends. He's talking about you, born again, spirit-filled, carrying the power of the Holy Spirit, releasing the glory of God. That's what He's talking about. He's not talking about some amazing light or some amazing... No, He's talking about you. The earth is filled with His glory. When you look at the mountains, when you look at the sea, when you look at creation, that's His glory. But then when you look at us who carry His glory, and when we come together, He says, "I will fill this temple with the glory," says the Lord of hosts. Verse 8 says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine," says the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. There's a move coming. I'm feeling the urgency in my spirit every time. There's been such an urgency as we were praying, and Judith and I have been praying, and Judith's been sending the same thing. And the urgency is to get rid of the old and prepare for the new. Yes. That's really what it is. The shaking is to get rid of the old and prepare for the new, whether it's spiritual or whether it's physical. If we have to start cleaning up the church with some old stuff and get rid of some stuff, hallelujah, because there's a new thing coming. If the move of God comes, it comes with what? Silver and gold. God says, "Silver is mine. Gold is mine. What are you worried about? I own all that stuff. Just go and prepare. Get your hearts right before Him. Walk righteous before Him." You know, I believe that the journey that we've been on is what really God wants for our church. Is cleaning ourselves up, walking in righteousness and holiness before Him. And He will fill up. He's the one that's going to bring the new move or the new things that are happening in Him. He's the one that's going to do that. All we have to do is prepare our hearts and walk in that place of righteousness. Hallelujah. That's all He requires from us. Nothing else. This move will come with much blessings. The Lord is going to provide for you. Listen to me. We are being shaken right now. But God's got your tomorrow. God's got everything under control. You just got to believe in what He's doing right now. Hang on to that and say, "God, I believe that something's going to break at the end of this." And so the agency of myself and Judith has been really strong. I've been sensing it in the spirit, and Judith's been sensing it as well, and she's been coming and just on her own time, just getting rid of stuff. She says, "I just sense that we need to get rid of some things. Get rid of some old stuff and prepare it. And God's going to bless us with some new things." Hallelujah. That's the kind of agency that she has physically for the church. And we should all have that spiritually as well for a church. Hallelujah. I'm talking to the Living Light Gospel Church this morning. And I also encourage you, if you're coming from another church or listening from wherever you are in the world today, get rid of the stuff that's inside of you. The shaking must allow the idols to go. The shaking must allow all the rubbish to go. And God will fill you up with the new thing. Whatever it is that you've been desiring, God's going to fill you up. But first of all the stuff needs to go. All the old stuff needs to go. The prophetic instructions have been released to us. And I've been doing that for the last couple of months now. The last 6 months has been releasing just instructions that have been given to us, hallelujah, as a church. And it's been great because we're starting to see what is happening right now. There's a clear picture or blueprint for us to follow. And I just wanted to share this morning before I encourage you and close. In Psalm 105, verse 37. You know, I believe there's the agency in my heart is about the month of April. Something's going to break in April. I believe that. Hallelujah. Psalm 105, verse 37 says, "He also brought them out with silver and gold. And there was none feeble among his tribe. He's talking about the Egyptians. Feeble means physically weak, as from old age or sickness. It was recorded that before the Israel, the children of Israel had left Egypt, somehow they were feeble or sick. Not even one was with infirmity when they came out, the Bible says. He also brought them out with what? Silver and gold. And there was none feeble amongst them. As we go through this plague or this time, none of us will be sick. Hallelujah. I prophesy that and I speak it over your life this morning. None of you will be touched by this plague. None of you will be sick. The word of God says, and they came out, hallelujah, from Egypt or wherever they are, enslaved, feeling strong. The old people were like they were 16 years old. They had a heart of a 16-year-old walking through the desert for 40 years. Hallelujah. None of you will be touched by that. When you read Exodus chapter 12, you will find out that they had instructions to stay indoors for 14 days. This is amazing, the shift and the picture that we're seeing. This was set up for a supernatural breakthrough. God was setting the people of Egypt, or people of Israel, for a supernatural breakthrough. He was preparing them. He says, go and stay indoors for 14 days. Amazingly, 12 hours before Passover, they were slaves, they were sick, they were malnourished, they were dehydrated, all you could imagine as a slave, because they were beaten and did all the slave work, and none of them had that strength to even walk. And I think that was where all the murmuring was coming from. We're weak, we're sick, we can't get up and walk. But amazing, 12-hour transformation. They were instructed to kill a lamb, I'm talking from Exodus chapter 12, and put its blood on every doorpost of every home, and then eat the lamb roasted on the fire. Exodus chapter 12 says, verse 11 says, and thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Hallelujah. There was an urgency or expectancy that was inside the hearts of the people. And God says, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Because when the Passover ends, something is going to happen. Hallelujah. We're living in the month of Passover right now. The Jewish calendar, the Passover ends in April 15th, I think it is. And so I believe that after that, something is going to break. And we have instructions right here. It's been given to us. And this is a clear picture of what the church should be preparing for. Let's not be blinded by everything that's happening around us. Let's not be just groping around, but let's just go and seek the Word of God, check what the Bible says in the season that we're living in, and interpret it based on what He's telling us. Hallelujah. What is happening during the time of Israel is not different from what is happening today. He is talking to the church this morning. Have that urgency in you that something is going to break. The next day it was recorded, no one was found with infirmity. The Bible says that. Church, we will not be victims, but victors, for the Passover is almost here. After Easter, something supernatural is about to happen. The children of Israel will celebrate the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who did the amazing stuff, or did the amazing miracles in them. And we, hallelujah, as the body of Christ, will celebrate the shedding of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. We'll be celebrating Christ, whose blood speaks better things in our lives. As Israel celebrates Passover and remember the great works of God, Adonai, Jehovah, we, as partakers of that covenant, will celebrate Christ and His blood. Oh, I'm excited about that. And I want you to be excited about that, church. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, for Christ is our Passover lamb who has been what? Sacrificed. Here's the instructions that I want to give you today. Let us take communion this week, next week. Let us break bread every day before Passover ends. Let's just do that. Let's break bread. Let's pray. This time that we're isolated is not a time of just isolation. It's a time of prayer, time of coming together, time of just pondering on what God is doing, pondering on their own life, pondering on things that are happening. A great time to be resting in God, praying and breaking bread together. I rally you, church, this morning. Break bread together. Break bread every morning, every day. Break bread together and pray together. Come together. Continue joining us in our Zoom prayer meetings. I encourage you, church, come together. Connect onto Zoom. Pastor Jen's been sending out all the stuff, all the details through our church website and through emails and phones and WhatsApp. I encourage you, get connected to that, because we don't know when these things are going to end, but we know that something's going to break through at the end when Passover comes, when Passover ends. So I want you to connect to the Zoom, the app. Download it on your phone. Connect with us in prayer. Get up at 5 o'clock or 6 in the morning. Let's pray together on our Saturday morning 6 o'clock prayer and our 7 o'clock to 8 prayer in the evening as well. So, hallelujah. That's the instructions that I'm giving you today. For all of this, we know that we are moving towards greater things in God. Something is going to happen in God. I want to close by some amazing principles. You know, this crisis will cause many of you to be laid off work or your hours cut down. I want to encourage you this morning and leave you with some powerful biblical principles in the time of that we're living in, the economic crisis, or whatever that is you want to call it. It is a plague, but the plague is actually causing the crisis or the economy to just in disarray at the moment. Nobody knows the future of this thing. Nobody knows what's happening, but we know why. We have the instructions given to us right here. Great instruction book, hallelujah. You have it, your constitution of the kingdom of God, and you are a kingdom-minded person right now. And I want to give you some encouragement this morning, and that really blessed me. See, seeds, let me just give you some principles. Seeds do not care if there is a recession. This is also a message of giving, because we are still giving our tithes and offering to the church, so that the work of God still continues to happen whilst we're in lockdown and in isolation. Seeds are never in recession. A mango seed never gets up to you and says, oh, well, you know, I don't feel like, growing this morning because there's a recession. Do you understand? I'm talking about seeds this morning. Have you heard a mango seed say to you, well, I don't want to grow now because they said that there was the market has fallen, or the Dow Jones has shifted, or the economy is in recession. A mango seed never tells you that I need to stop growing now because there's a recession. The principle behind it is so powerful. The seed don't care. As long as there is a soil and water, a seed will grow. I'm just closing with my message this morning just to encourage you. A seed grows through hurricanes. A seed grows to cyclones, earthquakes, a seed still grows. Recessions, economy collapsing, a seed still grows. Hallelujah. A mango seed says, just give me some soil, give me some water, I want to grow. Hallelujah. When the economy collapses, seed still grows and bear fruit. When the system of man collapses, seed still grow. Oh, I hope you get this morning. Exodus chapter 4, verse 2 to 3. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? Hallelujah. A question that is being given to everybody watching today. What is that in your hand? God says to Moses, Moses, you and I got something for you to do. I have a job for you to do. You know the first thing Moses starts telling God? Moses starts to tell God what he doesn't have. That's the first thing that we always do. When somebody asks you to do something, you first of all you say, "Well, I don't have." No, that vocabulary now needs to change. We are in a 2020 shift. 2020 shift means you're shifting and you're giving, and how you handle your finances must change, because the kingdom economy must rise. The economy of this world will be destroyed, but the kingdom economy must rise. The kingdom economy is based on seeds. Hallelujah. Giving and receiving. Moses tells God, I don't have anything. And that is the problem with the church. We keep telling God what we don't have. I don't have this, I don't have that. Listen to what God says. God says, look, the question is not what you don't have. The question is, what do you have? Oh. Come on. The question is not how much you have. The question is, what do you have? What do you have? What is in your house? Hallelujah. And Moses replied and says, a staff, he replied. And the Lord said, throw it onto the ground. In other words, Moses said, God says to Moses, good. Now let's work with that rod. I love that. Let's just work with what you have, Moses. That piece of wood you got in your hand, let's work with that. Hallelujah. You know, that piece of wood transformed and changed a nation. Israel was transformed by a piece of rod, a stick. Because God says, what do you have, Moses? Not what you don't have. I don't want what you don't have. I want what you have. Moses said, I have a rod. He says, good, let's work with that. What is in your hands this morning, church, that can set people free? What is in your hands that can be a blessing to others? That is all God is asking for you, from you. What is in your hand? That's the principle. Let me just give you another principle. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 2 to 3. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? A question again. A man of God asking you, what is in your house? Not what you don't have, but what do you have? Hallelujah. You remember the story of that widow, eh? When Elijah went to that house. She was about to die because there was famine in the land, a crisis. Look what she said. And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. Except a jar of oil. What is the except that you got? That's really what God wants. God does not want what you don't have. He's asking for you, what is in your house? What is the except that you have? What is the except? What is that 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? That's all he needs. He needs that. All he needs is what is in your hands, what is in your house, what you have. Hallelujah. That sounds like many of us. The widow says, I have nothing. I have nothing. But listen to this word of faith. I have nothing. But the principle is, and she added, but except this little bit of oil. I've got nothing except this. That's all God is looking for this morning. That's all God needs for you to be blessed and transformed by the principles. Hallelujah. But the last part of the portion of the scriptures, he puts in there very quickly. Except for a jar of oil. Hallelujah. Listen to me. God is looking for the except. That's all. God is looking for whatever you got in your hand. God is looking for whatever you have in your house. Because in the time of crisis, that's all you're going to have. I got nothing except. I got no toilet paper except. Sorry. Just going to add that one in. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, they laid me off work and they cut down my hours. What do you have in your hands? Oh, the work is drying up. What do you have in your hands? Oh, I don't have. What do you have in your hands? God doesn't want but. He says, what do you have in your hands? What is the skill you have? What is the gift you have? He's not looking for a job for you. He's looking for work. What have you got? They can sack you and kick you out of your work or your job and sack you from your job, but they can never sack your work and your skill. Your skill carries you through everything. What do you have? That's what you have, my friends. The woman says, I have in the house a little jar of oil. And after we eat that or this little cake, then we will die. She said, your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. Elijah said, perfect, let's work with that. And he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. Principles, my friends. In other words, release your faith, bring as many as you can, trust God. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all the vessels and set aside the full ones. Hallelujah. shutting the door behind you and coming in. It's talking about prayer. It's coming in. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons who brought the vessel to her. And she poured it out. Now it came to pass, verse 6, that when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. She said to her son, and her son said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Oh, I love that principle. And I love this miracle because that's what God is saying to us today. The oil did not stop or did not finish. It was still there. And she was still filling all the bowls. But the oil stopped when there was not enough vessels left. If she had brought more vessels in, that oil would not have run out. That is the principle that I want to share to you this morning. God's got your tomorrow. He owns your tomorrow. That's the key point and the title of this message this morning. He's got your tomorrow. The oil stopped when the vessel stopped. When the vessel's finished, then the oil stopped. The provision of God does not run out. We see things, but God knows things. We see what's happening around us, but God knows what's happening around us. We see money running out. God sees or knows that your bank account is full. You see work running out and your job, there's no much work in Cairns. God sees or knows that there's work for you. He knows. And so our mindset must change to not just seeing, but knowing. We know how. The Word of God tells us. The principle that has been given to us. We know that. We don't just see it. When you see something, you freak out and panic because you see it go down. But God knows. Oh, hallelujah. We see 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. God knows you own a bakery. Oh, hallelujah. We see 2 fish. God knows you own the ocean. So be a person that knowing, not seeing. Don't see and make decisions with your eyes. Based on His Word, like I said, interpret everything knowing the promise of God and His the Word and the instructions that He's already given you. Work with the knowing. Don't work with the seeing. The world sees things and they panic and they do things, silly things around. You know. Oh, hallelujah. I love that. You know. So you can be in peace whilst everybody's crazy around you. You be still and know that I am God. I started with that scripture, and I want to finish with that scripture. Be still and know that I am God. Be encouraged this morning. God's economy is a supernatural economy. It does not function according to man's economy. Never functions on man's economy. God's economy is a supernatural. If we want to see God's supernatural provision, then let's be what? People of faith. James said, a faith without what? Works is what? Dead. And so, let's not be just people of faith, talking about faith and preaching about faith. And no, do it. Get up and do it. Get it done and see the manifestation of the Word of God starts to happen in your life. Faith comes by not just by hearing. But when you do it, when you get up, Jesus said, let them who have ears hear, and let them who have eyes understand, and get up and then go and do it. Whatever that's been released to you this morning, don't sit on it. Don't pray about it. You can pray about it forever. Sometimes it becomes an excuse. I'm just praying about it. I'm just waiting. No. The season will pass you. Everything will pass you while you're still praying about it. The window of opportunity is there. Grab hold onto it and do it. Move by faith and do it according to what God is saying to us this morning. Don't just see. Do it. Be still and know that He's God and He owns your tomorrow. I just want to close with this psalm. I love this psalm. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Everything comes from a season. a tree standing by the side of the water, and when there's no fruit, the leaves are on it. The leaves tells you that there's hope. If you see something, if there's no fruit, but the tree is still there, connected to the water, like you connecting yourself to God, then you, in season, will bring the fruit. The Bible says that it brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not, what? Wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Hallelujah. God is saying, find me in blessings. Find me in provisions. Find me in health and strength. Find me in comfort and peace. That's all he's saying this morning to you. And he's got and owns your tomorrow. Hallelujah. Let me just say a prayer before we close. I want to say this. If you've never received Christ in your life, if you're watching and you're listening to this message today, I want to pray a prayer, a salvation prayer. I want the church, you in your house, pray with me. And those of you that are here, pray with me. I want to pray to you, ask you to receive Christ. Jesus said, only believe in me. Like I said before, you may not go seeking after God, but God wants to find you. And he's going to find you. And he's finding you. If you're watching it this morning, that's because he has allowed you to do that. So I want to say a sinner's prayer before we close. And when you close your eyes, please repeat after me. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name.
I come to you in Jesus' name.
Lord, I'm sorry for my sin.
Lord, I'm sorry for my sin.
The way that I have turned my back on you.
The way that I've turned my back on you.
I come to you now.
I come to you now.
And I repent of all my unrighteousness.
And I repent of all my unrighteousness.
I turn away from it all.
I turn away from it all.
And I turn to you.
And I turn to you.
Your word says that if I come to you.
Your word says that if I come to you.
In repentance. That you will forgive all my sins.
Will forgive all my sin.
Lord, I come now.
Lord, I come now.
Thank you for shedding your blood on the cross.
Thank you for shedding your blood on the cross.
Thank you for dying for me.
Thank you for dying for me.
To pay the price in full.
To pay the price in full.
For all my sin.
For all my sin.
I receive you now as my Lord and Savior.
I receive you now as my Lord and Savior.
I receive your blood to wash me.
I receive your blood to wash me.
And to make me clean.
To make me clean.
From all sin.
From all sin.
Jesus.
Jesus,
from this day forward,
from this day forward,
you are my Lord.
You are my Lord.
Lead me, and guide me,
and guide me,
and fill me with your Holy Spirit,
and fill me with your Holy Spirit,
so that I can walk with you,
so that I can walk with you,
every day of my life,
every day of my life.
Thank you for receiving me.
Thank you for receiving me,
and for forgiving me,
and for forgiving me.
I am washed.
I'm washed.
I am clean.
I'm clean.
I am born again.
I'm born again.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm going to ask Jenna to come and do all the announcements and everything, but I thank you for your attention this morning and for being part of us this morning for the church service. So, may God, let me just pray. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace. Shalom, shalom. That there is nothing missing in your life, nothing broken in your life. Everything has been made whole and complete, restored, made whole and complete in body, soul, and spirit, in health, in your job, in your provision, in your family, in your relationship. I pray that peace upon you now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.